You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN, KGYM.
March, she is full of madness. If nothing else, happy Monday, everyone. Welcome to the Gym Class. Mark Dukes sitting in for Scott Unash. He is at the state boys basketball tournament this week. Pleased to be joined by Isaac Alzinga, our producer, who will ride with me for the next hour here on the Gym Class. The first of 3 hours of local programming, Spencer on Sports. Will be following us from 4 to 6. Highlights of that show include a visit with John Walters, voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, who will compete this week in the Big 12 basketball tournament. So much to go over today on the program, and wrestling with where to start. Speaking of wrestling, plenty of basketball, men's and women's basketball. And Isaac, I think we landed on a plan.
A rough plan, but however, if there is something else that people want to talk about, feel free to text into our text line, 309-366-1600. But it was a very, very busy weekend for sure.
It was indeed, and on top of that, the NFL bursting with news today. We're going to get to that later on in the program. So many movements and so many more to come. We will talk about that, but thanks for joining us today. On this Monday, March the 10th, 70 degrees. Spring hasn't quite sprung officially, but I'm glad to see you turn the clocks ahead and, you know, you're with us today, Isaac.
Yeah, it's getting a little bit warmer out. I'm starting to, instead of take walks, get my steps in the gym, I'm going outside to get them, so it's feeling nice.
I wasn't sure what to wear today.
I know it gets cold when you like leave, at least for me, because it gets a little bit darker by the time I'm leaving. So it's a weird time.
Let's get into it. The first part of the program, we're going to talk about a little basketball. We will get to wrestling towards the bottom of the hour and chew on the NFL movements that we've seen today and over the weekend. They are plentiful and probably will be continuing throughout the show. But yesterday, the Iowa men's basketball team, should you still care about it, with a very impressive performance of, I would argue, not a very good Nebraska basketball team. But it was a performance on the road on Nebraska's senior day with Iowa and Nebraska both playing for its Big Ten tournament basketball life. And despite a relatively slow start, it was a dominating performance for the Iowa men's basketball team, which now is in the Big Ten tournament, the 15th seed. It will play on, I believe it's Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday at around 5:30 against Ohio State, which defeated the Hawkeyes fairly soundly in the regular season. But I don't know if it took me by surprise. Did it change people's views of Fran McCaffrey and whether he should be back, whether Beth Getz will have him back as the basketball coach? Fran McCaffrey saying he intends to go nowhere. Did this do anything for you, Isaac, on your opinion one way or another on Fran McCaffrey?
It didn't really change my opinion on Fran McCaffrey and the coaching decision. I think it's still pretty clear the things have gotten a little stale, I guess is the best way of putting it, especially with the fan base. I don't want to, if you disagree, feel free to text in, but I don't want to speak for the fan base, but it feels like this didn't change any minds too severely. It is a good win. You obviously want to get into the Big Ten tournament. I think that would have been pretty, for lack of embarrassing, I guess is the best word. Like, if you not making the tournament is somewhat embarrassing. So I think it's good they made it in. It's always good to beat Nebraska, a rival team. But I don't think one win necessarily changes the minds or my mind as far as what this program needs right now to inject life back into the program.
Funny how that happens against Nebraska. When I won Nebraska face off, Iowa has done it recently on the football field, did it this year in wrestling. Now yesterday, a season sweep in Nebraska. Jason in Nebraska, are you out there? 319-366-1600.
It's a tricky situation, obviously, but I don't think it changes anything. Maybe Iowa goes on some legendary run here in the Big Ten tournament. I would be
like
very,
NC State last year.
Yeah, I would be very surprised, but they play the games for a reason. I just don't see it happening. I think the fan apathy is too severe at this point for one win to really change anything and convince. If Beth Getz was already leaning towards maybe making a coaching change, I don't think one win is enough to convince her that he needs to be stuck by, or anything needs to, her opinion needs to change somehow.
27:57 on the text line. If Fran wins a game in the Big Ten tournament, he might buy himself another year. Cyclone Tim and his facetious self. Yes, he needs to receive a 10-year extension. Thank you, Tim.
I just don't know how it – I don't think it increases fan excitement about the product. And I think that's the biggest issue, is the money side of things that we talked about last week with Doctorman and other times throughout last week. I think the money side has gotten so bad that you need – a big change to reinvigorate the fan base so the money side comes back up into the positive, into the green, whatever you want to use there, because it's just gotten so bad that a big change needs to happen for that change to occur.
We've been over this ground, but not in light of the fact that, you know, there was a lot of speculation Iowa was not going to make the Big Ten tournament. It has. It finished tied for 11th in the league. And if you look back, predictions for this Iowa basketball team were not great in the first place. The predictions range from 9 to 11 to 12, something like that. So arguably, you could say Iowa was right at expectations, but a lot of the fan base expects more, and I get that.
I think Iowa fans sometimes do have slightly unrealistic expectations for some of their teams. I think that's fair to say. You look at like the overreaction to the early Big Ten season for the women's basketball team. There was a way too big of a swing, mm-hmm. in my opinion, as far as anti-Jan Jensen, and this was a terrible hire and stuff like that. However, I do think I think this Iowa team was more talented, at least in my opinion, was more talented than just barely squeaking into the Big Ten tournament. I thought maybe I was just higher on this team before the season. I thought this team was going to be an NCAA tournament bubble team where I wasn't sure they were going to get in, but I thought they could at least contend for that, and they're nowhere near. So to me, it was a little bit of a disappointment. Again, maybe my expectations were too high, but I don't think that's setting the bar too high or anything for a program like Iowa.
The time will come. We'll have the discussion if and when Beth Getz gives Fran McCaffrey a vote of confidence or decides to move in a different direction. That's a discussion that we will have when that decision is made. For now, Iowa has extended the season, plays Ohio State. Should it win, will face an Illinois team that has seen its ups and downs. Illinois is the number 7 seed. And then getting way too far ahead of ourselves, it would be number 2 Maryland in that bracket. Iowa's in a bracket. You avoid Michigan State until perhaps the final. But first things first, Iowa's going to have to beat Ohio State. Ohio State's really been up and down. Lost to Indiana. Did beat Iowa during the regular season in Columbus. So we shall see on Wednesday. And Iowa probably is going to be in consideration for another of the postseason tournaments. Don't know whether it will accept or not. There's still a couple tournaments, right?
Yeah, I think so. At least I'm pretty sure there's still. They'll probably get some sort of invite to something. Again, I don't know if they would accept any of those. For the actual Big Ten tournament, this Iowa team has shown they are incredibly inconsistent. One game's performance varies wildly from the next game's performance. I don't have a lot of faith that they can string together you know, 2, 3, 4 right. straight games as far as winning basketball. Again, I would love to be proven wrong. I just don't see it happening.
86-36, final comment on Iowa men and Fran McCaffrey. He will get one more year. We got some great recruits for next year. We'll see. And we don't know anything about what movements Fran McCaffrey will make in the portal, if any. So, much better news, I think. The Drake men's basketball team, there's no debate whether it is going to reach the NCAA tournament. It has. It won the Missouri Valley Conference tournament yesterday. A great performance again by Bennett Sturts. Drake, we've debated this thing almost all season long, including with our friend Kevin Lehman, who is with us on off the Glass segment every week. If Drake doesn't win, the hypothetical, if Drake doesn't win the big the Missouri Valley Conference tournament, should it get in with 29 wins? Well, that's moot now. And hats off to that program, 30 wins, 30-3, just tremendous.
Yeah, it's been awesome to see them rebound, I guess is the best way, from obviously you lost DeVries as your head coach last year, and you have McCollum there. A lot of D2 guys coming with them. And just a tremendous performance, not only in the tournament, but just all season. I also think in the NCAA tournament, I don't think they're going to like go on some incredible all-time run, but they can. No one wants to play Drake, for sure.
Not a team you want to see.
They will play everyone really close, considering their style, as far as the slower pace of play. It will be low scoring, so they'll kind of hang around and maybe can, you know, pull something off. But it's been a ton of fun. I told you I've kind of adopted them as just like, I love watching them play. I think it's just a good atmosphere at the Knapp Center, and the fan base has really embraced McCollum and that squad, and it's been a fun year to follow the Drake Bulldogs.
316 on the Gym Class, Mark Dukes and Isaac Alzinga with you today, talking a little basketball in the first part of the segment. We're going to talk wrestling, Big Ten, Big 12, men, women, and go over some of the NFL news of the day, which is still, I thought the world was going to end. Twitter was down for a couple times today. I think it's still working. I haven't checked recently, but yeah, what a day for Twitter to go down.
Yeah, bad timing. I had all these notifications pop up from Adam Schefter and other insiders, and I could barely get any of them to load, so I couldn't see any of the deals, but eventually I got just like ESPN's website to work or whatever.
We'd be remiss not to talk about the Iowa women's basketball team losing to Ohio State at the Big Ten tournament, getting ousted there, and Ohio State was summarily drilled in its next game. But Iowa, I thought, with a very solid performance in the tournament, it's going to be, what, 6 seed, 7 seed, something like that, in the NCAA tournament. It's been a good year for the women's basketball program, and a lot of debate about whether Sydney Affolter was fouled on the last drive to the basket, whether Iowa got the best of shots, shot selection, and whatnot. But ultimately, Ohio State did win that game. And by the way, we're going to have Jan Jensen on tomorrow. Head women's basketball coach Jan Jensen scheduled to be with us tomorrow. Scott Unas back in the studio. You'll be with us, Isaac, but very anxious to talk to Jan, and I know Scott lined that up when Jan was at the state tournament. But your thoughts on the Iowa women, ultimately won by UCLA, the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, I think the Iowa women did really, really well. I think that Ohio State game, to me, it was just tough to win 3 games in 3 days was the biggest issue for them, especially playing Michigan State and Ohio State, who have really intense presses and high effort. Like, it takes a lot of effort to play those teams. It expends a lot of energy. That's just a lot to ask for on back-to-back days. You know, maybe if Iowa had gotten a bye here or there, who knows what happens, but that was just, to me, that was the biggest issue with the Iowa squad, is they seemed sort of tired at times, which I can't fault them. 3 games in 3 days is tough. But I think they made a good account of themselves. I looked at current bracketology by Charlie Kareem. He had him at a 6 seed, and Duke is the 3 seed, so they would meet in round 2 if that were to match up. That's from 2 days ago, so it hasn't been updated incredibly recently, but that's currently where they stand. I think it was a really good tournament for them. I also think Iowa maybe would have played UCLA a little bit tougher than Ohio State did, who got absolutely crushed in the next round. But still, I think really good tournament for them, and it's a team that no one wants to see come tournament time.
I do have to admit to a bad prediction. Predictions not necessarily my forte. I'm not really good at them. If you've ever listened to the Emo's Hideaway Pick 6 during football season, I said several weeks ago, I predicted that Jan Jensen would never get a technical foul. Knowing her personality and whatnot, but she did. She got a technical foul against Ohio State, and we'll ask her about that tomorrow, because I think the players made a big deal out of it, her first technical foul. I just didn't think she was going to stop short all the time of getting a technical foul, but she did. And it didn't determine the game. A lot of people thought the game was determined at the end, which, you know, you can talk about all kinds of aspects about the game, but once again, people, fans, and some media members whining about no calls on the Iowa opponent. And this happens so much in Iowa women's basketball, maybe because people care so much about Iowa women's basketball the last couple, 3 years. Yesterday's Iowa men's game, not a peep. But I would just point out that in the Big Ten tournament, when Iowa played Michigan State and Ohio State, those two teams were whistled for more fouls than Iowa was. Opponents in the Big Ten season were whistled for 27 more fouls than Iowa was. For the whole season, opponents had 70 more fouls than Iowa. But I know what's coming back. Oh, it's the ones that matter, the ones that weren't called. But kind of getting a little sidetracked here, but a lot of people commenting about it, so why shouldn't I?
And I think it's fair. I do think women's basketball refs, college basketball refs, there needs to be an upgrade. I'll say that for sure. I think there are some inconsistencies as far as the game, how the one game is called.
Wouldn't disagree.
But I don't ever think a game comes down, 99% of the time, a game doesn't come down to one call. So there are some cases where that's true, but I think most of the time you can point to spots throughout the game where there's either an offensive drought or some open shots that are missed, stuff like that, that you can point to that would have won you the game or changed momentum. So I do think it's, I think blaming refs oftentimes is more of a detriment for a team because it gives a built-in excuse and doesn't force you to reevaluate your strengths and get better. So I don't think the Iowa women's team will look at the refs as a big issue in that game because they want to improve going into the NCAA tournament. So I do think there's reason to be critical of the refs. However, I think it's pretty rare that a single call loses a game for a team.
Gene and Vin weighing in. It was nice to see Cody McMahon of Ohio State get, quote-unquote, disrespected by UCLA. And that was another minor storyline, Cody McMahon saying that she felt Iowa disrespected her and the Buckeyes. I think that a lot of that probably had to do with Iowa and Ohio State the last couple of years. I don't know anything that was said or done that would make Cody McMahon think that Iowa disrespected them, aside from the fact they beat them. I didn't get that. I thought Cody McMahon in the post-game interview on the Big Ten Network, she very well spoken. But that comment about being disrespected by the Iowa women's team, I there was no follow-up either. What do you mean by disrespected?
Yeah, I found that strange. I saw a lot of media people also say that's weird because there's never been anything said. I wonder if maybe she means Iowa fan base. I don't know. Possibly
Maybe something happened along the way.
I don't know. It just did feel like it came out of nowhere to me. And then she later on in that interview praised Iowa. It was a very – there were some doublespeak instances, it felt like, of that in that interview. I don't know where it came from. Maybe there's more to it that we don't know.
8186 with an interesting comment on the text line. Shout out to the Iowa men's team and good sportsmanship when the Nebraska senior left the game. That was Juwan Gary, who fouled out yesterday in the Nebraska game, and he was embraced by Brock Harding and Peyton Sandfort and Josh Dix, among others. Juwan Gary, one of the seniors on the Nebraska team, clearly moved when he fouled out, knowing that his season, if not career, had ended. And I agree, it showed great sportsmanship and a great respect, I think, on the part of the Iowa players. Unlike what happened in the Michigan State and Michigan game at midcourt when Michigan State senior tried to do something that was traditional for the last 25 years, and that is kiss center court, and a couple Michigan players were, getting in the way, maybe not disrupting, but not where they should have been. But as far as the Iowa reaction to Juwan Gary, I agree.
Yeah, I think that was a nice show there. And there's something, I guess, just about Michigan where something just has to happen in their rivalries, whether it's football or basketball. Uh-huh. There's just something there. I don't know. We don't have to get into that. But there's just something about Michigan, I guess, that they like to irk some of their rivals there.
Didn't have a chance to plant the flag on the Michigan State court, right?
No, you do not.
Yeah. Well, let's get to a break. Before we do that, we're going to give you an Emo's Hideaway scoreboard brought to you by Emo's Hideaway out on First Avenue East behind Johnson Fitness. It's home to great classic local American food. May I suggest the redneck nachos, maybe the chicken ragoon, Cuban, Reuben, maybe a Thai peanut butter burger. Kitchen's open from 4 to 9 daily, and the bar closes at 11 Monday through Saturday. Go ahead and visit Emo's Hideaway. On the scoreboard today, former Iowa State basketball coach Steve Prohm will not return to his second stint with Murray State. Prohm had been with the Racers 3 seasons after having left Iowa State. Former Heisman Trophy winner Eddie George has been hired as the head football coach at Bowling Green. George spent the past 4 seasons with Tennessee State. It's off to the national tournaments for Kirkwood and Mount Mercy athletes. Kirkwood qualified for the men's and women's national basketball tournaments, and Mount Mercy advanced both the men's and women's squads to the national bowling tournament. And congratulations go out to the Cedar Rapids Xavier and Mount Vernon girls basketball teams on their state championships won over the weekend. Xavier won its title in Coach Tom Lilly's final season. At the boys' state basketball tournament today, earlier, Waukee Northwest defeated Cedar Rapids Kennedy 71-64 in a 4A quarterfinal. On the court right now, Linmar and Waukee. Linmar held a 1-point halftime lead. We'll try to bring you the final on that before the end of the program. When we come back, we'll talk happenings at the Big Ten and Big 12 wrestling tournaments, men, women, and get into NFL movements right after this.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And there's going to be plenty of sunshine today. Temperatures are going to be increasing into the low 70s, and that will be aided by gusty winds out of the southwest. Those winds will also lead to elevated fire danger this afternoon and evening, so avoid outdoor burning and be mindful of anything that can cause a spark. Later tonight, we'll have clear skies and temperatures drop down into the upper 30s. Some slightly cooler air will lead to temperatures in the mid-50s tomorrow, but it will still be sunny and mild. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Brandcamp, Brandcamp, where businesses build their brand.
The sun peaks over the horizon. Nature begins to awaken. The rooster crows, and your alarm sounds a screeching tone that jolts you from your slumber. Your heart starts pumping, and you reach to put an end to the horrid noise by hitting the snooze button. but you have placed the alarm clock far enough away that it requires you to get out of bed. As your feet hit the ground and you sit upright, you scream out in agony. Oh, my back! Notice that you didn't wake up saying, I need a new mattress. Your focus was on the problem, not the solution. Hey, I'm Stacey Dayball. What solutions do you offer to your customers? Are you telling them how you can help in a way that actually catches their attention? You need a brainsformation from KZIA. Let us add more customers through a proven system that finally breaks through and get your business famous for what you do. Join me April 8th at 8 a.m. for Brand Camp at the African American Museum. To register, go to KZIA.com, go to the Brandsformation tab at the top of the page, and sign up there. I can't wait to see you.
Scott Unash here for your neighborhood Quick Star. And if you need food on the go, whether to take home to the family, the neighborhood Quick Star is your place to go. It is your ultimate destination for savory meals and appetizers that hit just right, including cheese curds, mini tacos, stuffed spuds, mozzarella sticks, or for the family, roasted whole chicken on special for $6.99 every Monday, soup bags on special, 36 to 40 ounce, $6.99, that is every Tuesday. And they got some great specials going on right now at the Neighborhood Quick Star, including Nature's Touch Milk, skim 1%, 2%, 1 gallon, $2.99, limit 3, and Don's Pizzas, assorted varieties, 4 for $10 or $3.99 each, limit 4. And don't forget to use your Quick Rewards app. Stop on by your Neighborhood Quick Star.
Farming's hard. To feed the world, farmers have to work the land, brave the elements, and fight the battle against weeds. Weeds reduce crop yields, so prices go up and everybody gets less to eat. But 50 years ago, farmers got a new tool to fight weeds, glyphosate. It kills weeds while protecting the harvest. Time and again, it has been approved by the EPA and by leading regulatory bodies around the world. It helps enable practices that reduce erosion and keep soil healthy, which is good for the earth. Farming's hard, but it's a little easier with glyphosate. Learn more at go.bayer.com/glyphosate. Paid for by Bayer.
It's truck month and Dairy Ford is here for you.
With a huge selection of Mavericks, Rangers, F-150s, and Super Duties.
Here for you!
With many years of experience serving Iowa City, Cedar Rapids, and the corridor.
Here for you with complimentary pickup and delivery and mobile service.
If you are looking for a quick, enjoyable purchase experience with our best price up front, visit us today and see how Dairy Ford is here for you. It's truck month at Dairy Ford in Iowa City or online at DairyFord.com.
Welcome back. 3:31 on the Gym Class today. Speaking to you live from the Southwest Cedar Rapids Studios and 70-degree day. Mark Dukes, Isaac Elzinga with you. A little update on that Linmar-Waukee game at the Boys State Basketball Tournament, Class 4A quarterfinal. Linmar leading 53-38 midway through the fourth quarter. And we haven't forgotten about Iowa State men's and women's basketball. Both teams will be in action this week at the conference tournaments. The men will play Wednesday at 11:30 a.m. against either Oklahoma State or Cincinnati. And in the Big 12 women's tournament, Iowa State, the number 7 seed, will play Thursday at 5:30 against Cincinnati or Arizona State. More on the Cyclones during today's Spencer on Sports segment with Iowa State play-by-play announcer John Walters. And I'd also direct you to the Todd Brommelkamp Show podcast, but there isn't one today. Todd and his family have been a bit on the ill side, taking him out of action today. I know if Todd's capable, he will be back tomorrow, but shout out to Todd and his family. Hope you get well soon. Wrestling, Isaac. We're going to talk, by the way, a program note. We're going to switch things around this week. Mark Ironside typically with us on Wednesday. We're going to move that to Thursday at Mark's request, thinking the NCAA pairings and whatnot will be out by then. So Kevin Lehman, normally on Thursday, will be on Wednesday. So make a note of that. Once again, tomorrow, Jan Jensen, Iowa women's basketball coach, scheduled to join us. Let's start with the best of news, and that was the Iowa women winning a second straight national championship down at Coralville. You were there. Isaac, it looked, in many respects, pretty dominating.
Yeah, it was a really, really good performance by the team. I think this year was a little bit different than last year. They didn't have the sort of top-end finishers as far as champions go. They had less champions this year than they did last year. I believe they had six last year and three this year. I can't remember how many. I think they had six last year. But the depth, I mean, they took 15. All 15 were All-Americans. All 15 placed. They had three champions, dominant champions, Macy Kilty, Kennedy Blades, obviously, and then Kylie Welker, who, listen, we've talked a lot about Kennedy Blades, and deservedly so. Her offensive output is incredible. Her ability, her double leg takedown is awesome. All of her takedowns are awesome. She's so much fun to watch. Kylie Welker is also incredibly dominant in her own right. She went, she's at 180 pounds. She went 27-0 this year, 21 wins by tech, 6 wins by pin. Didn't allow a single point on her all season.
What?
All season, 27-0, not a single point was scored on her. So, again, we talk a lot about Kennedy Blades. She's a silver medalist. She deserves all the credit in the world. Kylie Welker is also someone who deserves a ton of credit for what she did this year.
That's incredible. I'd like to see more competition in the women's side of things. I think it will come. Hopefully it will come. I know North Central is very good.
Yeah, they have some good. They have some good girls.
McKendree and yeah. Others are very good. I just like to see some of the Iowa States, UNIs, maybe the Penn States, the Oklahoma States, and others. I think you would too.
Oh, absolutely. I do think it's gonna come eventually. I think Oklahoma State may be the next one if I were to pick one of those sort of major wrestling, men's wrestling sort of teams there, college teams. I think Okie State is the closest. I don't know, but I had read before that there were plans in place and then the budget kind of shrunk for Okie State, so it didn't materialize. But it seems like the groundwork is there. And certainly the want is there. The sport is exploding right now as far as women's wrestling. I would love to see it. Another thing I'm curious about, I don't know if I would love to see it, but I would love to see, not maybe love to see, but I'm interested to see if there's any outcry for women to go to folk style in college. I've grown to love freestyle, but I do know there's a real disconnect with some men's wrestling fans for women's wrestling where it's not folk style, so they're not as interested in it. So I do wonder if, as more teams join, more big schools join, if it moves to folk style instead of freestyle.
Great points. And once again, congratulations to Coach Chun and the women's wrestling program, second straight national championship. And 98-43 is suggesting on the text line that I should take Thursday off because Mr. Ironside will not be in a very good mood, which leads us to our next segment, and that is the Big Ten men's wrestling tournament that has concluded that over in Evanston, Illinois. Iowa finishing third in the team race. You knew it wasn't going to win it. Nebraska was a chief one of Iowa's chief competitors to get that second spot. Nebraska had a very good meet. In addition to that, Minnesota and Illinois had excellent meets. Iowa just holding off the latter two teams. But Isaac, and we're certainly going to get Mark Ironside's impressions on Thursday, but to me, this, I don't know, you're much closer to it than I am, but I know I speak for several fans out there that we know the days of Dan Gable winning 21 Big Ten championships are over, at least for the time being. But third place, fourth place last year, third place this year, second straight year, Iowa has not had an individual champion. Among the 10 wrestlers that Iowa took to Evanston, only two met or exceeded the seed. And that was Mike Caliendo, who seeded second, finished second, and the star for Iowa was Ben Keeter, who seeded seventh and finished third, a terrific meet. Perhaps Iowa will turn it around at the NCAA tournament in just under a couple weeks in Philadelphia. I don't like some of the things I saw.
Yeah, I think I don't think it makes sense to really call for Brand's head or anything like that. I do think there's things to be critical of as far as how Iowa is operating right now. I think there needs to be a reevaluation with how Iowa trains. I think this is several years now, or a couple years at least, where Iowa wrestlers have started to trail off late in the year. It doesn't feel like they're peaking at the right time, I guess is another term you could use. And part of that is the training style. It's super intense in the Iowa room, but that leads to injuries. It leads to exhaustion. There needs to be some sort of reevaluation, I think, as far as how you can help these athletes not be injured, exhausted, whatever, going into the postseason. I also think another thing that's it's fair to be critical of is the RTC isn't great compared to, like, Penn State, where, you know, Penn State has Zane Rutherford in there. They have Bo Nickel in there. They have all these NCAA champions all up and down across every weight class. So every day that these Penn State guys are training, they're going against NCAA champions. They know what it takes. Iowa, they've got Spencer Lee in there, obviously, but got DeSanto, who's obviously, again, really good, but it's just not the same level. It's been a little bit neglected, and I think that is a big, it's a big, big reason why Penn State's, the gap is so large, because Penn State's just room, as far as the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club goes, is just significantly better from a top to bottom talent standpoint. So I think it's fair to be critical of those things. Also, the wrestlers just have to perform better. Like, Stephen Buchanan just did not seem like that's the worst he's looked all season. Just not up to his standard. Drake Ayala, he just got caught. Like, that's just going to happen in wrestling sometimes. I'm not going to overreact to that one. It was also a very weird tournament as far as that goes. I think there was only two one seeds that won their weight class or the weight group. So it was a weird day in general, a weird Big Tens. So I don't want to overreact, but there are certainly things that you can be critical of that Brands needs to address in this offseason.
Yeah, just in that aspect alone, either the seeds were off or Iowa didn't perform up to expectations versus the seeds. And I guess my point is that it was the latter. And it's really interesting, your point, and I don't know if this has been going on for a while, the training in the Iowa room. And I don't know that we've talked to Mark Ironside about that. Mark isn't in the room as much as he used to be. But you can see, I mean, Teamer has been out a lot of the season. Maybe his conditioning isn't there. He frustrates the hell out of me because he doesn't seem to get after it until he needs to. And he finished seventh. Seventh. Shriver didn't qualify. Joey Cruz goes in fifth, finishes 10th, may get a bid. You know, you can go pretty much right up and down the line, except for Keeter and Caliendo. And I don't know, Kennedy was okay, this and that, but the training aspect is interesting to me.
Yeah, it's again, I'll just name some of the names that are in the Nittany Lion Wrestling. You got Kyle Snyder, who's a three-time NCAA champion. You got Zane Rutherford in there. Franklin Gomez, who is an NCAA champion. They just got champions everywhere in that room. The only champion Iowa has, to my knowledge, I could be off on this, is Spencer Lee. And there's a reason why I think the biggest improvement you saw this year was Joey Cruz, in
my
opinion.
The Brands brothers don't count.
Obviously, they count, but, I mean, they're a little bit older, not on the same sort of international competition age right now. There's a reason why Joey Cruz took the biggest leap this year, in my opinion. It's because he's got Spencer in that room, and he's got DeSanto in that room working with him, who are incredibly high-level wrestlers. Meanwhile, you see Penn State up and down their lineup. Everybody improves year over year because they've got guys everywhere that are either current champions or former champions. So that's something that has been a little bit neglected that needs to be addressed by Brands, at least in my opinion. I see we're getting a phone call right now. I'm going to hope you can text in. I'm not back there to answer it right now. So apologies for that. But that is something that, in my opinion, has to be addressed.
It's going to be interesting to talk to Mark Ironside on Thursday and get his opinion, because he won't hold back. I don't think he's going to make excuses for the Iowa. He finished third in the Big Ten. Any other sport, people will be thrilled. But it's wrestling. And Iowa dominated for so long. And Brands has won 4 NCAA titles. It's not like he hasn't done anything. It's since 2021, when Iowa last won a Big Ten and an NCAA championship. Part of that's Penn State, plain and simple. But you see what Minnesota did. I'm going to save my Gable Steveson rant about him even being eligible. I'll save that, I think, for another day. Or maybe today is the day. No, I'll save it. Okay. But you see Minnesota and Illinois. Illinois, you know, they weren't expected to be in the top five, were they? I mean, what the Brown Eagles did and Bird did, it was impressive.
Yeah, I think there's a lot went into it. Again, it was a weird tournament. A lot of one seeds lost. A lot of guys who were favored lost. You don't want to overreact to this too much. It is just a little bit concerning that some of the guys are, once again, underperforming at Big Tens. And it's now back-to-back years where Iowa doesn't have a Big Ten champion.
Mm-hmm.
Notably, also the 197-pound drought continues that I pointed out on Thursday. There's just some concerning things. Again, I don't think you want to overreact quite yet with it, though. There's positives keeping Brands around as far as recruiting goes. And I think recruiting matters more in wrestling than it does in basketball or football, just because I think the wrestling recruits, high-rated wrestling recruits, are more of a sure thing than some of the basketball or football guys are.
We're going to talk more about the Iowa and the Big Ten with Mark Ironside on Thursday. Congratulations to Northern Iowa, 9 wrestlers to the NCAA tournament. Terrific Big 12 conference meet, ultimately won by Oklahoma State at the last weight.
Yeah, that was a tremendous tournament. I thought that was so much fun to watch. It's been fun to watch you and I all season. I've said there's a purity about that program where it's just about wrestling. That's it. There's no other external things. It's about guys that love wrestling with each other, love their teammates, love the sport in general. And I've just enjoyed that group so, so much. And they deserve – I was really, really hoping that they could get Oklahoma State would get upset in that heavyweight, but didn't happen. Still really, really, really entertaining. I do think I want to, what was it, 174, O'Toole versus Hamady. That was incredible. That was, some of the scrambles in that were insane. I loved, that was one of the best matches all day, all weekend. So I want to give a shout out to that.
Be interesting. NCAA tournament begins March 20th, a week from this coming week in Philadelphia. We'll see, and we'll break it down with Mark Ironside on Thursday. I want to touch on the NFL because there's so many impactful stories out there today. Of course, the free agent signing period doesn't officially, quote-unquote, begin until Wednesday, but the quote-unquote legal tampering period started today. And there's just been a flurry of activities, particularly at quarterback. We know that Sam Darnold is off to Seattle. Justin Fields is headed to the Jets. Late last week, Geno Smith traded to the Raiders. I haven't checked Twitter recently. Update me, but where's Aaron Rodgers going to go? Is Rodgers going to be a Pittsburgh Steeler after they signed a wide receiver? Is he going to go to the Giants? What's left out there? But super interesting day in the NFL.
Yeah, really interesting weekend. It really started on Friday with the Seahawks trading Geno Smith to the Raiders, which we were talking about it before the show. I think I was a little bit surprised by that just because it seemed like it came out of nowhere. It does make sense with the Pete Carroll connection and everything. I also thought DK might get traded there just because of the Pete Carroll connection. He ends up going to the Steelers. And then Kirk Cousins, I haven't looked at the contract yet, so I'll have to go to on the SpoTrack or whatever. However it's pronounced, to go look at the guarantees in there and how it's structured. But interesting deal there. Interested to see if there's another quarterback move that the Vikings make in case McCarthy's still not ready health-wise, coming off an ACL, if he needs a little bit more time to rehab, or if they just need some insurance, make sure that he can sort of ease into being an NFL quarterback. But seeing Kirk Cousins go to the Seahawks was another sort of surprise. I thought he might go to, like... Darnold.
Yeah.
Man, Vikings quarterbacks, they just all blend together. I guess they have a type, I guess. But seeing Darnold go to the Seahawks was a little bit surprised. I thought he might go to the Steelers. And now the quarterback market is certainly shrinking, and there's a couple teams that definitely need one.
No problem in Buffalo. Josh Allen signed a new deal today. The Rams bringing back Jimmy Garoppolo. Davante Adams acquired. My Bears got their third offensive lineman, a veteran offensive lineman in a week. I like that. A lot of activity. And, you know, you're going to have to check your programs for quarterbacks at a minimum. But I'm not even mentioning all the movements, but there have just been so many.
Yeah, it opens up and everything just starts flowing. Thank you to Gene and Benton. It was a meniscus, not an ACL. It's all in the knee. You know, it all blends together there, too. But, yeah, there's just been a flurry of movement. The Bears, I think they've been really, really smart. They correctly identified their real big weakness, which was interior. I thought the first just incredible move was getting Joe Tooney last week with the trade. Tooney, I believe, was the highest-graded pass-blocking interior offensive lineman, which was the worst spot. Like, I think the Bears had issues at tackle. They're not, like, great or anything. But the real issues for the Bears as far as pass blocking goes was on the interior. And you got, again, I think he was the highest-graded pass-blocking interior offensive lineman. So the Bears have been incredibly smart, which I am not used to saying as far as the offseason goes. But we'll see. I think they're making all the right moves.
I think so, too. And we'll bring you up to date on any and all NFL movements on the Spencer on Sports show from 4 to 6. Again, he will have a Cyclone play-by-play announcer, John Walters, at 4:30.
Quick note on that. Actually, John had to cancel.
Oh, he did.
Not going on today. We're hoping to reschedule him, but just a little bit of announcement. John did have to reschedule there. He will still have JR from the Big Ten huddle at 5:10 to talk some Big Ten basketball.
Excellent.
Though.
We're nothing if not breaking news, right?
Yes, of course.
More people weighing in on the Iowa wrestling. And 16-41, what happens if we don't have an NCAA champ? You tell me. 2 years in a row without a Big Ten champ.
Yeah. Again, I think there's things to be critical of. I'm not saying that Brands is without criticism. There's things that need to change, in my opinion, as far as that room goes and how things are currently operating. I just think, one, the talent Penn State has is far and away superior. It's hard to compete with that.
And the money.
Like, I think that is a very valid point. And two, the guys just have to wrestle better. Like, there are some guys that just have to be better. Stephen Buchanan, I think that's going to be a one-off for him. I do think he's going to be better at NCAAs. Drake Ayala, I'm not going to overreact to that. Again, that happens in wrestling. You get pinned sometimes. You get got. Like, that's wrestling. That's the sport. It happened to Spencer Lee, who's one of the best.
Yeah.
Like, it just happens. So not going to overreact to that. Things that certainly have to change. There's things to be critical of, but you don't want to ruin a program too heavily or be too quick to judgment as far as stuff like that goes, especially with someone who's proven himself like Tom Brands.
Well, unlike the men's basketball program, whenever Iowa wrestles at Carver Hawk Arena, it's full.
Yes, and the excitement's there. That's a fair point.
Yeah. 57-17 on the text line. Are Iowa wrestling fans the new Nebraska football fans? Do we think it's still the Gable era and expect more than is reality? Nebraska fans, the analogy is Nebraska still thinks it's either Bob Devaney or Tom Osborne, and it isn't now. It's and this point here is the Gable era is past.
there's an element to that. Some Iowa fans do need to accept that this is the Penn State era, and this is also the nature of the sport. It's very cyclical as far as Okie State has their dominant run, Iowa has their dominant run, Penn State is on their dominant run. Like, it is just, I don't know what it is about wrestling, but it breeds itself for a dominant team. And some fans, Iowa fans, just need to kind of accept that fact. Like, it's not our time right now, and maybe it'll come back around, but you got to wait it out. Like, this is what it is. You got to focus more on the individual guys, find your favorites, I guess is the best way of putting it, and cheer them on in March.
All right, getting near the top of the hour where you need to take our final break. We come back, we will wrap things up here on the Jim Costs.
Life's better when you're under our roof because our agents can help you choose insurance to help protect what matters most. Life insurance from American Family Life Insurance Company can help financially protect your loved ones by replacing a portion of your income if you were to pass away. That means your family can have the help they need to continue to pursue their dreams.
Contact Kurt Gustafson or Lana Pierce at 319-363-7214.
Products not available in all states. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
American Family Insurance.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league. But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, millions of men experience ED, but not everyone can access or afford treatments like Viagra. At Hims, our own board-certified urologist, Dr. Peter Stahl, knows this better than anyone, and he knows that Hims can help.
Hi, I'm Dr. Peter Stahl, Senior Vice President of Men's Sexual Health at Hims. I've helped many guys with ED, and it has never been more convenient to treat than it is right now, thanks to Hims.
Through Hims.com, you can access a full range of treatment options for ED, including daily or as-needed meds through a 100% online process. If prescribed, your medication is shipped to you for free. Find the ED treatment that fits your needs. Options at up to 95% less than the brand names when you get started at Hims.com/joy. To start your free online visit and find ED treatment at up to 95% less than brand name prices, go to Hims.com/joy. That's Hims.com/joy for your free online visit.
Welcome back. Just a few seconds here left on the Gym Class. Thank you for the interaction today on hoops and wrestling and NFL and all the above. More on many of those topics coming up 4 to 6. Spencer on sports, he's 100%. Glad to know that. And he'll be with you again coming up shortly. Jan Johnson tomorrow, Iowa women's basketball coach, going to be joining us. Isaac, thank you. We'll see you again tomorrow. Scott Unash back tomorrow. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever. That's four lines on unlimited welcome for just $25 a line per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. You'll also